good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This. Tonight on the show, we're going to be looking at how China deals with the political, economic and social fallout from the COVID-19 outbreak. Joining us on the show, we have Professor Wu Wing-tai, professor at Sunway University. He's also with the Institute of Population and Labor Economics of the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Great pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. I'd like to begin with some of the comments that China watchers have made. In fact, they've likened the COVID-19 crisis for President Xi Jinping to the threat that the Chernobyl nuclear meltdown posed in 1986 to Mikhail Gorbachev's hold on the Soviet Union. I'm wondering whether, in your opinion, that is a comparison that holds merit.
I think it holds. To a degree, it does, but the Xi Jinping government is not facing a meltdown of the economy that the Soviet Union was experiencing when the Chernobyl crisis broke out. So the depth of unhappiness that was existing at that point in time to be exploited was much deeper in the Soviet Union than in China.
Okay, so you don't think that the economic situation is as bad, even though this is all happening on the backdrop of a global economic slowdown?
Because the Soviet Union at that point actually had negative growth rates. So output was declining. Mm. In the case of China, output was still increasing, albeit at a lower rate than before. Mm.
Right. The other comparison that's made in the press and with analysts is, of course, the SARS outbreak in 2003, the management of SARS then and the management of COVID-19 now. And China's National Health Commission came out to say that the current outbreak is preventable and controllable. That was the expression they used. And they said also that in terms of medicine, in terms of social affairs management, and in terms of public opinion management, China has learned its lesson from SARS and is not about to make the same mistakes. But in the last couple of weeks, have we seen that borne out? The self-perception that they've learned from SARS, did they really learn the lessons of SARS applied to the COVID-19 outbreak?
The fact that the comparison with Chernobyl was made shows that a large segment of the public thinks that if the lessons were learned, for some reasons they were not put into action. And is it because of incompetence or is it because of the nature of the governance in China?
Right. In fact, I understand that one of the other ways of thinking about this is the narratives that have been spun from the Chinese government itself about what happened. And I believe one of the narratives is that essentially there was a failure of a leadership at a provincial level, and that it was Beijing, the central leadership, that came in and saved the day. Is that how you see it?
Well, at this point, I cannot tell what is happening. Largely because there is a report that Xi Jinping realized what was happening in early January, and he had issued instructions to deal with the problem, including warning the public in a timely fashion should it be an outbreak like SARS. We know that the public dissemination of the epidemic was certainly slow, well behind the curve, and that means this failure occurred at the local level. This, I think, is likely to have been the case, but there for people who are skeptical, it could be seen as an exercise in trying to push the blame, to trying to make a scapegoat out of the local officials, because in an interview, the Wuhan mayor said that, of course I want to get the information out and save people, But in cases like this, I need to be authorized to review the situation. That particular command means that this person is pushing the blame upwards. And after this interview was when we hear about Xi Jinping having issued the command to deal with the problem accordingly.
Before we get into deeper into the political side of it, I mean, just in terms of the economics of it, because I know you do quite a bit of work on economic policy and in China. Tell us about what is understood about the damage at COVID-19, because the numbers are dramatic, shutdown of a province, shutdown of a city, millions of people.
Supply chain disruptions.
Quarantine of workers, commodity prices have fallen, apparently. Apparently, copper is a bellwether of Chinese economic health. That price, those prices have fallen. Does anybody have a grasp of what the overall picture is in terms of the economic damage?
One thing for sure, the output for the first 3 months of the year will be very, very low because the country is basically in quarantine. Output started slowing down in because of the coming Chinese New Year on January 25th. So you could say more for half a month in January, there was minimal production. Then February, generally, work could have resumed in February 17th, but in fact that has not happened. So January is very low growth. Well, I mean, low level production. February, even lower production. And from what we see, March will be pretty much like February.
It's quite a grim picture.
Largely because the Chinese universities that were anticipated to open in the second half of February. And then the rumors are that it will now open in April. I understand that the Ministry of Education announced that in-class instruction will resume only after the May 1st holiday.
Wow.
So this means that in-class instruction will not occur until 8th of May. But the important thing is they are therefore anticipating that the risk of infection will continue to be high at least until the middle of April. And what that means is the country will still be quarantined until the middle of April. So we are talking about 3 full months of low level of production.
Right.
So the growth rate for the year is unlikely to hit 6% if the production remains low in both March and April.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back, continue this conversation with Professor Wu shortly on Consider This. Stay tuned.